I will be in Atlanta tonight, Wednesday, and tomorrow, Thursday, as U.S. Soccer formally announces its new 200-acre, $200 million National Training Center and business headquarters being based in Fayette County, Georgia, about 25 miles south of downtown Atlanta and 15 miles from the Atlanta airport. More details to come on this event over the next few days. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, December 13th. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcore. Wow, what a news day. Answers to the future of the Washington Capitals, Washington Wizards, and Monumental Sports could come Wednesday morning as Ted Leonsis makes an appearance with Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin at an event in Alexandria's Potomac Yard area. We talked about this on the Buzzcast yesterday. The event will likely unveil a plan to build a new 20,000-seat arena for the Capitals and the Wizards, as well as a mixed-use district. So, if this comes to fruition, the teams would move just across the river outside of Washington, D.C., but news of a joint appearance by Leonsis and Youngkin prompted D.C. officials to make a last-ditch attempt to keep both teams downtown, as district officials have been in talks with Leonsis over renovations to the arena, Capital One Arena, downtown. So the district offered a bill that, if passed, would offer Monumental $500 million in financing toward the renovation of Capital One Arena. So obviously, this story is very fluid. It's moving fast. I certainly didn't anticipate news of a possible relocation happening this quickly. This would be a real blow to downtown DC if the teams do relocate. It would likely put more pressure on district leaders to try and land the Commanders. On the flip side, for Monumental Sports and Entertainment, it would offer an unbelievable parcel of land to develop a marquee, state-of-the-art, mixed-use district. So a lot of interesting tangents here, a lot of interesting parts to the story. We will have more on this story as it develops over the next few days. A big win in Oklahoma City for the Thunder, as Oklahoma City residents, in an overwhelming vote, 71% to 29%, approved a proposal for the city to use taxpayer funds to build a $900 million new arena for the Thunder. That means the Thunder will stay in Oklahoma City for the foreseeable future. Voters made their intention clear to keep the team around for decades to come. Now, for 15 years, the city has been home to an NBA team, and as soon as 2029, Oklahoma City will have a new arena to replace Paycom Center. Paycom Center cost $89 million to build, and it opened in 2002. So you see how dated that building is. Voters in the city approved a six-year penny sales tax that will pay for at least $850 million of the arena. Thunder ownership will contribute $50 million toward the arena. And this comes as the team has committed to play in the new arena for 25 years. So why did this pass? Because a lot of other referendums fail. Well, this is one of those rare arena deals in a small market where the NBA is such a source of pride and identity to Oklahoma City. And the team has the goodwill and the capital for public support for this measure. Also, don't overlook the respect that team owner Clay Bennett has in that community. He is a very central figure, incredibly well regarded. So it did not surprise me that Oklahoma City voters overwhelmingly approved a referendum to keep the Thunder in the city for the foreseeable future. So a big win for the team and the city. Let's move on. If you are a Ravens fan or have been to M&T Bank Stadium, get ready to see some major changes at this venue, as the venue will see its most significant renovation since it opened in 1998. The Ravens received $600 million from the state of Maryland in exchange for a lease extension. And so that $600 million, they need to spend it, And on Tuesday, they unveiled their plans to renovate the venue. Some of the improvements will be finished by next August, ahead of the start of next year's regular season, while other changes will be completed ahead of the 25 and 26 seasons. Here's what you'll see. You'll see more plazas with bars. There'll be a big emphasis on a large retail store. There'll be big emphasis on expanding the upper concourses. And there'll be a very big emphasis on premium seating. We have said that teams cannot sell enough premium. Well, the Ravens are a great example. The team will build new field-level seats, and they will totally renovate the existing club level. They'll introduce what they call the Black Wing, which are 10 individual suites connected to a private club that will be situated beneath the stadium's club level on the Ravens sidelines. And so this will be a very, very high-end club. So a big emphasis on premium. Also a big emphasis on social spaces, open spaces. There will also be a two-level beer hall called the Gatehouse, which will feature a roof deck. So again, a lot of social areas, a lot of areas to roam. And again, the total number of suites will increase from 140 to 152. And that's even rare these days. Most venue renovations have seen a decrease in the number of suites or opening up more suites for party suites. This also gives Ravens chief sales officer Kevin Rocklitz a lot more inventory to sell, and his sales team has been in the market selling naming rights to the Gatehouse and the refurbished club level. And so look for these changes at M&T Bank Stadium over the next few years. But that's a really nice figure. When you have $600 million to spend, the Ravens plan to spend $430 million toward the renovation, and they'll keep the rest for future efforts. So a big project in Baltimore. The NFL playoffs without Al Michaels? Well, that appears to be the case, as the New York Post reported that Al Michaels will not be part of NBC's NFL playoff coverage this season, despite NBC airing four postseason games. So the Sunday night team of Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth will cover three of the games, while NBC's college football team of Noah Eagle and Todd Blackledge will get a game on Wild Card Weekend. Now, Michaels did call a Wild Card game last season with Tony Dungy. The New York Post reported the move to go away from Michaels has been in the works for a while, but I'll just say I'm surprised by the move. I still find Al Michaels the voice of the big games. I will miss him during the NFL postseason. At a dinner earlier this week in Charlotte, the topic of conversation was the impact that Iowa guard Caitlin Clark is having on sports and society. And more brands are noticing her influence, her reach, her appeal. And Gatorade is one of them. Caitlin Clark has signed with Gatorade to be a college basketball brand ambassador. Gatorade will commit $22,000, that's in honor of Clark's jersey number, to the Caitlin Clark Foundation. Plans are in flux as to when and how Gatorade will activate around Caitlin Clark, but this is another marquee deal for the Iowa guard. She is represented by Excel Sports Management. She has NIL deals with State Farm, where she's on the national commercials of State Farm. She has a deal with Nike, Buick, Bose, H&R Block, Goldman Sachs, Topps, and others. So Caitlin Clark building out a very nice endorsement portfolio. Again, her reach, her appeal is certainly important and getting noticed. And I think the brand of Caitlin Clark should only get stronger. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, December 13th. Like I said, a lot of news. We'll have more on Monumental and Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin's press conference today. I'll be giving you the Buzzcast tomorrow from Atlanta. So until then, stay healthy, be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Thursday.